Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely wife.
And I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And we're just thrilled to come to you today on our program, NFP for Life. And as always, Betty will open with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is a prayer for natural family planning users. Thank you, God, for the wonderful gift of fertility. Be with us, especially when we have trouble understanding our signs and when abstinence is difficult. Be with us in the special times when we rejoice in our love and the sacrament of marriage. Help us to understand your plan for us and show us how to be responsible parents. In you we will put our trust. We ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In deciding the topic for our program today, Betty and I have reviewed quite a few of the topics that we've covered over the past 12 to 15 months and have realized that we have not recently given an overview, especially for our listeners who may be new and any listeners who may have forgotten as to exactly what natural family planning is. So the first portion of our program will be an overview of some of the things that we teach in our NFP classes that we hold throughout the year. These classes are sponsored through the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We have 6 certified instructors, one of whom instructs in Spanish for the Family Life Office down at the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And there are usually natural family planning classes held somewhere throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, at least on a monthly basis. There are also incorporated classes in other methods of NFP. The Archdiocese supports predominantly the symptothermal method, which is also inclusive of what is taught by the couple-to-couple league. But there are also instructors in the area for fertility care nurse practitioners who teach the Creighton model of NAPRO technology for family planning. And they conduct their own classes and are usually not advertised through the Family Life Office, but are promoted through their own website, Fertility Care Practitioners of Southeastern Pennsylvania. But the symptothermal method is what we want to predominantly focus on today, and Betty and I will go back and forth as to some of the things that we present to the couples when they come in to an NFP class. These classes usually are 2 hours each, a week apart, so it's a total of 4 hours. And it involves some homework on part of the couples, and it is optional as to whether or not they chart and send their charts to us for review until they learn the methods. So in the beginning of each class, we open with a prayer, as we just did, and then we review a church teaching on natural family planning. And we tell people about the dignity of their body and how they were created in the image and likeness of God. We explain to them that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We also further show them scriptural and catechetical references as to why natural family planning is professed by the church to be the only method of family planning. We review the encyclical Humanae Vitae, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the program because we just recently celebrated an anniversary in July. And then we give an overview of the anatomy, and I usually review that, male and female anatomy and aspects of fertility and the awareness that women are only fertile approximately 100 hours per month, that we have certain biological signs within the female cycle that help them to identify that fertile window, to instruct them as to know when the window opens and when the window closes. And once these couples become aware of these naturally occurring biological signs, which can be very variable from woman to woman and can even vary in the same woman from month to month and cycle to cycle at different ages and can be affected by many different things, they have an awareness as a couple as to know when they're fertile and when they're not, and they have that awareness that they can use in their family planning to either choose to engage in the marital embrace or to refrain or abstain from the marital embrace if they're temporarily postponing their childbearing and their families. Betty usually then gets into one of the biggest biological signs that's the most difficult to address, and I'll let her speak to that briefly.
One of the main signs and the first sign of your fertility during your female cycle is the mucus observation. And once that is determined, that is going to help a woman understand that her fertility window has begun. So it's so important that a husband and a wife practice NFP together so that they both understand that they're deciding as a unit whether they want to achieve a pregnancy or postpone a pregnancy. And it's just very important. And this first sign of the mucus changes in a female cycle is the very first sign of their fertility before their ovulation ever occurs. Male sperm can live up to 5 days in fertile mucus, so therefore it's important to know that. And if a couple is engaging in the marital embrace, they have to realize that before ovulation, that sperm can live in this fertile mucus, and ovulation may not occur for 3 or 4 days after that first sign of their fertility change, which is the mucus observation, so that when they do have the marital embrace, that sperm could be waiting there to catch the egg when it does ovulate.
We also give an overview of another sign called the temperature sign, and this is part of the symptothermal method, or what is abbreviated STM. And it essentially involves taking your basal body temperature using a digital basal body thermometer, which we give the couples as part of their registration package. And these thermometers are battery operated. They calibrate your body temperature in tenths of a degree. They only go up to 100, so they're not for illnesses. You cannot use an ear thermometer. You cannot use other types of skin thermometers. And your temperature is only to be measured orally. And we instruct the couples that the woman is to take her temperature every morning before she gets out of bed. It only takes a minute for it to register. The thermometer actually beeps when it has calibrated to the body temperature. And this basal body temperature is the temperature of the body before you get up and start moving around and generating heat and burning calories. There are issues that we review with women who have to get up in the middle of the night with ill children, or if they're sick themselves, or we talk about the differences and variations in temperature with shift work and with time zone travel, because now so many couples are traveling with their work. And we review all the variabilities and all the variations and show them how to chart and clock and document their temperatures on a chart that's already arranged and already printed up. And on the side of the chart is a list of symptoms that they can put, that if they overslept or if they had alcohol the night before, which can change your temperature and make it go up, or if they were sick, or if any other variability plays into this pattern, then we instruct them and tell them in the charting process what to do. The charting does not have to be done immediately. It can be done later in the day or in the evening or whenever it's convenient. And the important aspect of this is that even though the mucus sign and the temperature sign are signs that are of the woman's body throughout her cycle, the spouse is requested to do all the charting of all the signs. And so the story would run that if you both work day work and the spouse comes home in the evening, the thermometer should be sitting on the nightstand, and these digital thermometers save the temperature so that when you turn them back on, the first thing that shows on the little screen is the temperature that registered that morning, and then it automatically resets and recalibrates for the following morning. And so the absolute temperature itself doesn't mean anything, but they register that temperature, and then he would have to call out to his wife and say, honey, did you have a wet day or a dry day? And it would actually, and usually the couples laugh during the class that they would actually be having this conversation. But this is the beauty of the method, is that these couples are now on a day-to-day basis, both of them engaging in a discussion as to how they're going to manage their families and whether or not they're going to open themselves up to the supreme gift of the marital embrace, which is children. So then, since the husband comes to the class with the wife, and you don't have to be married to come to a class, you can certainly be engaged, but this is not for cohabiting couples, and it's not for people to use in a contraceptive mentality or a contraceptive thought process, and this is not Catholic contraception, as many people refer to it. However, the husband learns and knows his wife's cycle and charting, and he also then understands whether or not she's in her fertile window or not. And if she happens to be in the fertile window, then he may choose to not engage, and we then speak during the class of other types of intimacy. We talk about verbal intimacy. We talk about emotional intimacy. We talk about spiritual intimacy, praying together, reading scripture together, or reviewing a Bible study together, or engaging in a Bible study. We talk about intimacies that involve physical activity like exercise and go work out together. We talk about intellectual intimacy, where the couple may just sit down and discuss a topic, perhaps on a homily that they heard, or maybe an upcoming election, or a candidate, or a debate, or maybe other issues that are going on in work, or other challenges to their faith that they're constantly running into out in the culture. So there are many other forms of intimacy that need to be developed for couples besides the physical intimacy of the marital embrace. And they also know, and the husband also knows, that when this fertile window is over and when that window closes, that the honeymoon can start again in another 6 or 7 nights at the end of the fertile window. And so we explain to the couples how to do all this charting with temperature, how to do all this charting with mucus, what all the variabilities are as to what can alter or change the charts. We discuss problem charts. We discuss perimenopause. We discuss irregular cycles. We discuss medications that can affect the different signs that are involved in the NFP charting. And then we offer the couples the opportunity to be able to chart on their own and then send copies of their charts into the instructors so that they can have them reviewed by the instructors, not for the purposes of delving into their intimate aspects of their marital relationship, but for the purposes of helping them know and understand their fertility and their fertile window. And usually within 2 or 3 cycles, these couples can become very autonomous. They're very aware of their fertile window, and they can use natural family planning very successfully and very fruitfully throughout their entire married lives until God gives them the gift, if you want to call it, of the end of their fertility or menopause, at which time they no longer need to chart.
And a lot of couples start to understand and realize that this self-giving of each other can bring new life, and that this new life that they can bring into the world is really a gift. It's a gift to each other and to their family. And people that practice NFP realize that these children are the loving example. It's the example of their true love for one another. So that they really become, a lot of NFP users become open to life, all the time. Now we have NFP, you need to be open to all the aspect of sexual intimacy in a marriage is to be open to life and love. That's what our church teaches. We're to be open to life and love with every act of intercourse. But we're also being called to be responsible parents. And in order to be a responsible parent, you need to know, can you love and nurture and educate and shelter these children? Our church is not saying that you should have as many children as you can possibly have. But NFP users are realizing that when they do practice this method, that they can have children, you know, more than they thought they could, because they understand the value of family life and how important it is to one another as a couple to raise children in a loving, caring, responsible family. And that's what we're trying to get across to couples. In today's society, people are afraid of pregnancy. They're concerned that it's going to eat into their own personal time, or they're going to be alone because they're going to be a single parent. Our church wants to build and create loving families, and that's what's so important about NFP. It instills loving relationships with couples, and it instills loving families because they get what the true meaning of family life is.
Other positive aspects in addition to building families is that NFP promotes health. It's a very healthy lifestyle. Couples, especially the woman, but both of them, become aware. And quite frequently, people will come to us, women especially, will come to us, and they will see that they're not ovulating, or that their temperatures are much lower, or that their temperatures are dropping prematurely in the second half of the cycle. And they can be somewhat diagnostic and point in directions that can help physicians who are aware and know how to interpret these charts. And not every physician knows how to interpret NFP charts, because it's not something that you learn in medical school. But it can give signs that point toward thyroid disease, infertility, subfertility, anovulation, and different things like that. So in addition to promoting families, it promotes health. It also is completely free. It doesn't cost anything. So when you're looking at healthcare dollars that are being spent, and you're looking at medications, and you're looking at devices, and you're looking at surgery, and you're looking at costs, and you're looking at what other things people do to themselves and their bodies under the catch-all phrase of contraception against life, and then you look at natural family planning, it makes you wonder why people would not go for the less expensive thing, especially if it works. It would be one thing if it didn't work, or if you sat there and said, well, statistically it only works 75% of the time. Well, if you were going to the airport and getting on a plane and they told you they were only going to land 75% of the time, would you get on the plane? Of course not. But of course people use condoms, which only work 85% of the time, and they still end up getting pregnant and still end up getting STDs. So it makes Betty and I wonder what it is out there in the culture and in the environment that would motivate people to not want to consider something that is natural, something that promotes family life, something that promotes good marriages, something that costs nothing, something that is healthy and has no side effects, unlike every other type of contraception. It has some minor or major side effect. There are prices that you pay for the drugs and the devices and the surgeries that people go through. There's no price to pay for using natural family planning. And in fact, when people say that natural family planning may have a failure rate of 2%, well, that's really not a failure, because the marital act is intended for the procreation of children. And so actually, when a child comes from the marital embrace between a married couple, it's not really a failure, it's a success. And you have to also, and we talk about this in the class, we also talk to the couples and they say, you know, God has a plan for all of you, and we don't know what that plan is. And what you need to do through prayerful discernment is you need to open yourself up to that plan and decide whether or not God wants you to have a child at that particular point in time, whether you are ready to have a child or not.
I think today, in today's society, if you are, grandparents or parents to older children, if you have used NFP, you need to share that with your children, especially as they approach their married lives. It's so important because parents who have practiced NFP actually hand this down to the next generation. And we have to be aware of that. In our society today, the contraceptive mentality, unfortunately, people are constantly wanting their children to be protected. And there need not be any protection if people understand the true meaning of love and life, the true meaning of family life, the true meaning of marriage, and what it's supposed to represent. And so many people in our culture today are uneducated when it comes to fertility awareness. They have no idea of what their own fertility is, how to understand it. With this day and age of the internet, you know, you have the opportunity to learn this. NFP can be, there are online programs, but there's questions, there's blogs, there's all kinds of things that people can learn or help themselves understand what fertility awareness and NFP actually is. But it's a gift that you can give your children if you're NFP users to promote with your children the gift of fertility and the understanding of fertility awareness. Not knowing a lot of, in society today, a lot of men don't understand women's fertility. Men are fertile every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But women are not. So men, just put it in the hands of the woman to be concerned about pregnancy, when in fact, in a true marital and loving relationship, it's supposed to be a couple decision whether to have children or not. And that's what's so important. This is not a single human being's decision. This should be a couple decision. And our society today is allowing, you know, promoting men and women to just hook up and not think about what can happen through their recreational sexual activity, because sex makes babies, and that's what it was to be. That's what God created it to be, and we have to be able to understand that and to honor that. Our church wants us to be open to love and life. They want us to be in a loving relationship with another person, but also to understand that it's not just about the loving part of it. It's about the self-giving and the procreation of children. And that's the twofold thing. Our society today is all about the enjoyment, and they're not getting the importance of fertility awareness, and they're playing games with one another, with one another's heads and hearts and lives. And it's so important that we get to the point of what natural family planning is. It's fertility awareness in a loving relationship. And if we could help our teenagers to understand that, they would save themselves for their spouse in future years.
Now, we just... That's kind of an overview of what we teach in the classes, and Betty and I spoke prior to the program. We just passed through NFP Awareness Week, the third week of July in 2011, and it celebrates the anniversary of the release and the writing of the encyclical Humanae Vitae by Pope Paul VI back in 1968, released on July 25th, that confirms and reaffirms church teaching on family planning and contraception, and is part of, I think, the problem of why so many Catholics out there do not go to Mass. It's also part of the problem, perhaps, of why so many Catholics who do go to Mass don't know about natural family planning. Betty and I were away during that week, and we traveled to three different churches in two different states, one in New Jersey and one in New York. And I heard no homily on natural family planning. I saw no announcement in a church bulletin at any of the three churches that we went to during those occasions. And so I have to point the finger partially toward our clergy in that they are either uncomfortable or for some reason unwilling to give a homily and preach and say and print and publish about natural family planning. Personally, I think it should be in every parish bulletin every week. Personally, I think there should be an NFP team in every parish. Personally, I think there should be an NFP ministry in every parish. I think that this should be instigated by one of the priests, supported by a deacon if there is one available, and find just one couple in that parish that has either used or learned about natural family planning, and let them be available to answer questions or promote natural family planning. They don't have to become instructors. But with all the positive things that Betty and I just mentioned about how inexpensive it is and how effective it is and how healthy it is and how it promotes families and family life and marital bonding and couple bonding, and it's been documented that it lowers the divorce rate. The divorce rate for NFP-using couples is about 4%. We're up at about a 50% divorce rate in our contracepting, cohabiting culture. And so we see all the handwriting on the wall that this is such an amazingly astounding product, if you will, and yet there's no marketing to the extent that less than 2% of our population is even aware of natural family planning, let alone even using it. So I don't have an expectation that priests or deacons should be teaching natural family planning from the altar in a homily. I don't have an expectation that they should be talking about mucus and sperms and eggs and temperature, but I do have an expectation that there should be a gradual program of teaching biology and anatomy to Catholic high school students in chastity and abstinence programs, and mentioning natural family planning as church teaching for family planning in all religion classes, starting at around 7th or 8th grade, and that it needs to be constantly reiterated, constantly repeated, constantly taught, and constantly explained. Then when the couples do get into dating relationships or they get into college, they could have more advanced programs on chastity, abstinence, philosophy, theology, anatomy, biology, and how it works, fertility awareness, so that it's not something brand new that when a couple who is already cohabiting, who is away from the church but wants to get married in the Catholic Church, walks into a pre-Cana program, and at some point in time, they're either going to get one of three things in the pre-Cana program. Number one, they'll get nothing. No mention, no word, no lip service, no acknowledgement that natural family planning even exists, because the people on the pre-Cana team are not comfortable and they don't have an advocate. Or number two, they'll get a brochure and they'll have a mention of it that in our sexuality and intimacy talk, the church teaches you should use natural family planning. There's brochures in the backs of the room for anybody that's interested. End of discussion. Or number three, they'll have a guest couple brought in from the outside, from another parish, through the Archdiocesan Speakers Bureau, because none of the couples on the pre-Cana team are either comfortable or on board with agreeing with church teaching, with natural family planning, or don't know enough about it that they can speak to it. So the least that they do was bring a couple in for 45 minutes to an hour to give an overview. And that's about the extent of it. It's rarely, if ever, brought up in RCIA. I doubt that it's brought up in pre-Jordan. It's not being taught in our schools. It's not being mentioned in our churches in homilies. You see very few adult education programs on natural family planning, although our parish at St. Ignatius in Yardley, because Betty and I are there, and there are two other certified NFP instructor couples who live in the parish and attend Mass at the parish. So we have regular annual programs on natural family planning and actually have established a natural family planning ministry as part of one of the 46 ministries that exist at the parish. So we have programs and we have
classes
and we have physical awareness at our parish picnic and at our, we have coffee and donuts for our couples after masses during the year for socials. And so we set up tables, we make brochures available. We will teach private classes, we will teach public group classes, we will do anything and everything, but we just cannot understand why there is such a loud silence in our church for, what do you say about NFP in the church, Betty?
It's the best kept secret of the Catholic Church, and it needs to be promoted more. We need it desperately. I can remember when I was a young girl, I was the youngest of nine, so I had older sisters that were all marrying and when I was young. And it was brought up in our family that, you know, there was no contraception and that, you know, there was to be natural family planning, and that's just how it was. And we didn't know anything else. We didn't understand about contraception. But now in our society today, unfortunately, it's just epidemic. Everybody knows about contraception. Well, we want everybody to know that there's an alternative to that, and that it's natural family planning, and that it promotes a loving family, and that it's so important that a husband and a wife understand natural family planning. Contraception could be a very selfish tool for someone. They don't need, they're using it outside of marriage, and that's what's killing our marriages. Before 60s, before the pill, people wouldn't engage in those activities if they weren't married. The majority of people would not engage because they knew that sex made babies and that it was so important to honor that. Now we're not honoring our bodies anymore. We're poisoning them with contraceptive hormones and devices and things like that that are causing problems, health issues for women. This sexually transmitted diseases are epidemic, because they're given this false sense that contraception is going to prevent pregnancy, but it doesn't prevent sexually transmitted diseases, which shouldn't even be occurring if two people married and were sexually chaste before their marriage. So we need to promote this chastity with our young people before marriage. It's not good for your bodies or your soul to engage in this cohabitation or hooking up mentality. It's hurting us. It's hurting our society. It's hurting our marriages, because later when couples do marry, they don't have that trust that they need to have with one another. They have to rebuild constantly.
And we've often spoken here on this program, and amazingly, another thing that Betty and I discussed prior to this program is that we're now coming up on 13 years of broadcasting Natural Family Planning for Life and trying to promote the word and get the word out and let people know through Catholic radio and through our efforts in ministry and teaching and classes. And yet we are now coming up with confronting a giant. And the giant before us is the new government mandate that will come in 2013 that will require every health insurance company to provide free contraceptive services and sterilization to men and women with no copays and no deductibles. In other words, our government, the current government, is promoting the culture of death by mandating through a government action your tax dollars, whether you agree with it or not, as a practicing Catholic, regardless of what party you voted for, regardless of what candidate you voted for. This current health care plan has already been voted into law, and unless it is repealed, it will mandate, regardless of conscience clauses, that every health care insurance company, including the government-funded health insurance companies that will come into existence, will be paying for contraceptives and sterilization. And so now, if the money was ever a deterrent at the cost, it will no longer be a deterrent. They're also claiming that this is women's preventive services, preventive health services. Since when did fertility become a disease? Since when did having a baby become an illness that needed to be treated and medicated and plasticized and surgerized? Since when did the epidemic that Betty just mentioned of the STDs become such a sleeping giant? There are 19 million new cases of sexually transmitted diseases every year diagnosed in the United States. That is a conservative underestimate because not all of them are reported. They're the ones that are reported. There probably are more. One in four of these STDs occur in teenagers between the ages of 13 and 19. And the number one sexually transmitted disease is a virus that cannot be cured, the HPV virus, which causes cervical cancer. Others that cannot be cured that are viral, herpes, AIDS, hepatitis, are all in the top five, and they are not protected against fully by condoms. So you don't hear this on the news. You don't see this on TV. You don't see this as headlines in the newspaper. Last year in the flu season, there were a million cases of swine flu in the United States, and people ran around with epidemic, shouting, screaming, yelling, where's the vaccine? Where's the swine flu shots? We don't have enough. It's the government's fault. A million cases. There are 19 million new cases of STDs every year that are not protected against or prevented by the current contraceptives that are very easily available and very freely available. And yet you hear nothing about that epidemic. Our children are being damaged for life, and women are the biggest victims of these diseases because HPV doesn't cause cancer of the penis that often, but it causes cancer of the cervix. And there are thousands of women who die every year, despite the fact that we have pap smears in this country, from cervical cancer because it's an STD. Condoms are being given out in schools. 87% of couples cohabit before they marry. 90% of Catholics contracept. 37% of Catholics have been sterilized. They don't even know what the church teaches. And they don't even know that natural family planning is out there. That God has created and given us in our bodies and in the sacramentality of the sacrament of matrimony, an answer and a solution to the culture of death. And that's the culture of life. And what is the next step to the failed contraception and the unwanted, unplanned pregnancy? What is the biggest controversy in our country right now that has been separating, dividing, and splitting the country for the last 35, 40 years? Abortion. But abortion is only part of the tree of the culture of death, but contraception is the root of the culture of death. And until we address the roots of the culture of death, we will not be able to destroy this evil in our culture. It is destroying our families. It is destroying our society. It is dividing husband from wife, father and mother from children. It is dividing our culture, teachers, parents, everyone. And yet there is a deafening silence, a huge deafening silence in our church from our bishops and our priests and our deacons and all the way down through the laity. No one knows, and it's not being spoken of. And we don't want to be all doom and gloom on this program, and we want to bring you the good news of natural family planning. We want to bring you the good news of life and love and babies and bonding and marriage and how marriages can work. And we try to evangelize that through this program on Holy Spirit Radio. And Betty and I pray every month before we go on, and we both attend Adoration Chapel and pray for topics that will come to us. We try to promote all of these topics through the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network conferences every year that are totally funded by private individuals and St. Mary Medical Center and the Catholic Medical Association. We get no help from the Archdiocese. We get no support from the bishops or any of the collections in the churches. And so we need to start a grassroots effort, and what we want all of you to do, what I challenge all of you to do, Respect Life Sunday is coming up in October. It's the first weekend of October every year in every parish throughout the United States. And we are in the season of celebrating the Feast of the Assumption. And we have the Feast of the Nativity of Our Blessed Lady's Birth coming up in September. And we have Respect Life Sunday, and then we have an election coming up in November. So we are in a very important season. And I would challenge each and every listener, each and every listener, even if multiple of you are listening at the same time on the same radio, to go to your priests and your deacons and politely and respectfully request an implementation of a program of awareness of natural family planning in your parish, regardless of where you live and regardless of what parish you reside. Put it in the parish bulletin. Bring in speakers from the outside. Contact the radio station. Contact the Family Life Office that has a Diocesan Speakers Bureau. And bring in speakers. Get your adult education programs to bring in speakers. Have classes taught at your parish. Have classes taught to your pre-Cana teams, your RCIA teams, your pre-Jordan teams. Bring it into the CCD classes in the high schools, into your youth group programs. There are abstinence and chastity, age-appropriate ways of dealing with this and introducing the topics and introducing the ideas. One of the things that we speak to parents of when we do our eighth grade sexuality, chastity, and abstinence programs annually in our parish is that the parents are the primary educators of their children. But a parent can't educate their child about something of which they know nothing. And so the parents need to become aware. The second challenge that I would put out to you all is that if you've never read Humanae Vitae, go online, pull it up, and read it. It's free. And you can just type Vatican.org or just type the topic into the Google search engine or whatever search engine you're using and pull up the encyclical. It's a 15-page very easy to read, very easy to understand, full explanation of exactly what the church teaches and why they teach with respect to natural family planning.
Also, include theology of the body. There's many books. If you cannot decipher the large book that John Paul II has written, there's many books, many articles on theology of the body. There's many programs. Some of the high schools are just starting to implement theology of the body to help our young people understand that our bodies are sacred gifts from God. They're not to be used and abused by others. I mean, you know, we should be in a loving marital relationship and not be so promiscuous in our young lives. It's so important that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that we're the image and likeness of God, so that we're supposed to respect ourselves and understand that we don't want to poison our bodies. But with Humani Vitae, Pope Paul VI, he warned us about all this. He said that contraception will bring divorce and sexually transmitted diseases, more pornography, more sex outside of marriage, more children born out of wedlock, increased abortion, everything that our Pope has predicted in 1968 in that encyclical, Humani Vitae, has come true today. And we need to realize that we have to rein this back in. And now, with the government wanting to implement this contraceptive and sterilization bill, I mean, it's not helping us. It's hurting us more. But we are being convinced, society is being convinced that this is the way to go. It's okay to teach our 11-year-olds about human sexuality in school. But it's all one-sided. It's not giving the true value of what our purpose here is on earth and why we were created. And it's important that we understand that and to teach our children and our grandchildren that, because we're contracepting ourselves out of existence and we're giving ourselves many, many diseases that don't need to be by using contraception, hormonal contraception. Also, cancers, breast cancer, number one, it's definitely been documented that hormonal contraception can cause breast cancer. We're not being told that. We're not really being given awareness of that. And, you know, if you have a family history of something like that, you shouldn't be taking medications like that. You shouldn't be giving your children a medication like that. So you have to reel this back in. Find out what the truth is. We're not crazy Catholics that want to just spiel what we believe to be true. We know it to be true. And we know that this contraceptive mentality is an evil that is just eating away at our society. And it's causing great difficulty in our lives, in our family lives, in our children's lives. And we need to learn the truth and follow it and understand it. And what a blessing it is to know it and to live it. And you will live a richer lifestyle by doing that.
And as a physician, I have absolutely, positively no reason to sit here and publicly broadcast a lie about the association between estrogen and breast cancer and the association between abortion and breast cancer. I have all the articles and all the literature and all the documentation in scientific journals that have been brought together by many, many other brighter, more intelligent people than I. And if two websites that I would refer you to are the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute at bcpi.org and polycarp.org, P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P. And these are two physicians, one a very nationally renowned breast surgeon and the other a nationally renowned internal medicine physician. who provide all the documentation with reviews of the literature, many articles of which are not in medical journals in the United States, because medical journals in the United States predominantly are funded by pharmaceutical companies, and a lot of their research is paid for by pharmaceutical companies who have something to benefit by selling pharmaceuticals. So a lot of these articles are done in European nations, Asian nations, other countries, Scandinavian nations, medical journals. They're documented. They're well-resourced, well-researched studies. And there is a relationship between abortion and breast cancer. Well-documented, well-proven, physiologically explained. And we've presented this information previously. And you're not going to hear it because I was not educated to know about it when I went through medical school and my internship and residency. I was educated in mainstream medicine in a contraceptive culture in the 1970s and the 1980s when I received my schooling and my training. And this is what I was taught, and this is what I learned, and this is what I went out and practiced and did in women's health care, until I was challenged and became aware that this is not women's health care. And it astounds me to this day that women are willing to fill their bodies with steroid hormones and plastic devices for the purposes of being able to engage in an act whose very nature is to promote procreation, and then try to defy that very outcome by negating it, by telling their bodies no when their bodies are saying yes, when all they have to do is say no with their mind and their will and their language. So there are a lot of different societies, there are a lot of different cultures, there are a lot of different organizations out in the world that are promoting the culture of life and promoting natural family planning and promoting the truth. Unfortunately, the voice is somewhat subdued, and we need your help. We need the help of our priests and our deacons. We need our church to shout it from the rooftops. This is something that should be shouted from every rooftop of every church and every home everywhere. The good news of what God has created and given us in the very creation and dignity of our body and our masculinity and our femininity, and that we don't need pharmaceutical companies, and we don't need government agencies, and we don't need other people telling us what to do and going along with the flow. There are deaths every year in the United States of America in 2011, in our modern age, in our modern technology. There are deaths every year as a result of contraception side effects, blood clots, strokes and heart attacks and tumors, and there are deaths every year from legal, sterile abortions that are either surgical or medical, and our young people are being killed and our babies are being destroyed as a result of this culture of death. And we need to find a loud voice and turn this around. So as we're getting into this season, as I mentioned, of celebrations of Mary, the mother of our church, and the mother of the life that gave us our salvation, and Respect Life Sunday, and a national election that's coming up in November, where we have to sit down and we'll have a future program discussing our conscience issues and voting in a Catholic way. We need lay people, the people that are listening to this and other programs and reading other articles, to go to their churches and their ministries and their priests and their deacons and say, we want to hear it from you. We want you to talk about it. We want to hear it from you. And if you don't want to talk about it, we know somebody who will. Can we bring them in? And you can contact Holy Spirit Radio at holyspiritradio.org, or you can go to the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network at pnfpn.org and leave a message and contact us, and we will get back to you, and we will make ourselves available or make the resources available to you. So as we're wrapping up our program here, we've now given you what we consider to be an annual review or kind of an overview of what we teach in NFP classes. Betty and I are very excited about Archbishop Chaput coming to our archdiocese on September the 8th. For those of you who may not be aware, it's the Feast of the Nativity of Our Lady on September the 8th. And so I don't think that that's any small coincidence. For those of you who may not know anything about Archbishop Chaput, you may want to either read his book called Render Unto Caesar, which speaks about church teaching in the social and political sphere of our world of existence and how we as Catholics need to stand up and profess the truth and how to do that with kindness and integrity and dignity. And render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render unto God the things that are God. That's pretty much the basic basis behind his title. And also be aware that although I don't know Archbishop Chaput would do this in Philadelphia, but in Denver, where he's been their diocesan leader for the last 9 years, he has mandated natural family planning classes, a full class, for every couple getting married in the diocese. And so there are 4,300 weddings every year annually in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We will be having a meeting on September the 10th at the Family Life Office in Philadelphia to discuss the future of natural family planning. I have already invited Archbishop to our PNFPN conference next March. We're working on the details and finalizing the topic, and we have a meeting later this month to finalize that. He will not commit to his availability until he gets to Philadelphia and find out what his schedule is, but he has a lot of things on his plate. But we will pray very, very hard and very, very diligently, and we ask you all to pray that as our new shepherd of our flock comes to Philadelphia in September, that the Holy Spirit will guide him and lead him to open up the doors and windows of our church and let the breath of the Holy Spirit clean house and help heal us so that we can go forward in evangelizing the culture of life rather than the culture of death. And that not only will Holy Spirit radio and natural family planning, but the entire Archdiocese of Philadelphia become a beacon of light in this culture of death, in this culture of darkness, in professing life and love. Betty and I firmly are committed and believe with our hearts and our souls and all of our mind and our strength that we truly, that natural family planning is really the direction of the healing of the church. I know that sounds maybe silly to some of you, but if contraception is the dagger in the heart of life, we need to pull out that dagger and we need to heal it. And natural family planning will be the healing balm that will soothe the negativity that's going around about the beauty of intimacy and the beauty of the marital embrace as an example of Trinitarian love and the love between the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father begetting and creating a third person, not even creating, but begetting a third person, which is the Holy Spirit that we profess to be the Lord, the giver of life. So we also have coming up in Advent of this year, our new Roman Missal with some new prayers and some new mass applications that you'll all be hearing more about in the coming weeks and months. So we just ask you to go, those two challenges, go back and challenge your priest and your pastors and go back and challenge yourself and your family and see if you can promote natural family planning. And Betty will close out with any final thoughts and a prayer.
Well, I just want to say that for Catholics who do contracept or do have sterilizations, a lot of them don't understand the true teachings of the church, so that we need to pray for them and we need to let them realize that there is forgiveness for what they've done. And, you know, they're not bad people. They just have been misinformed and they need to be better informed to know the true meaning of love and that they're their marital relationships would be so much more loving and self-giving to one another. So I'm going to have a special prayer here for our priests to get the courage to be able to speak these topics to their parishioners. So, dear Lord, we pray that the Blessed Mother wrap her mantle around our priest and through her intercession strengthen them for their ministry. We pray that Mary will guide your priest to follow her own words. Do whatever he tells you. May your priest have the heart of Saint Joseph, Mary's most chaste spouse. May the Blessed Mother's own pierced heart inspire them to embrace all who suffer at the foot of the cross. And may your priest be holy, filled with the fire of your love, seeking nothing but your greater glory and the salvation of souls. Amen.
Amen.
And St. John Vianney,
pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next month. Spread the word. NFP for life. Thank you.
God bless.